Into the freaking garbage.
You see that crap? All that horror crap? Things coming out of crates, eating people, dead people coming back to life, people turning into weeds, for Christ's sake. I never saw such rotten crap in my life. Where do you get this shit? Who sells it to you? All that horror crap?
Hey, people are getting tired of you walking around shirtless. Head on over to Fast Custom Shirts and pick up a shirt. Maybe one of those two. Otherwise, hundreds and hundreds of designs, all reasonably priced. They also do custom work, too. Then head on over to DWNProductions.net. Masks, busts, props, custom work. Again, maybe you want some custom work. Maybe you want, I don't know, everybody's different, but maybe I can do it for you. So hit me up. Hey there, Joe. Oh, shit. Jinx.
It is the end of another week and the beginning of yet another week, Tom. And the cycle continues. And boy, did you watch a lot, which I'm glad for, because I hardly watch shit. And that's the way it's going to be for the next couple of weeks, because I'm pretty busy, Tom. Got a lot of shit going on, but that's okay. That's okay. Like I said, you got plenty, plenty to talk about with this new baseball season starting up. And you being the baseball aficionado, a fan. But we'll get to fandoms later, I believe, in the show.
Joe, while it is no secret, I like sitting around and eating hot dogs. It is Burt Gummer Day. Mm. Have you heard of this?
I have not, but I've heard of plenty of other bullshit days, so why not? Why not? Yeah.
But this one was actually credited at the end of a movie, you see.
Okay.
So it's official. What movie, you ask, Joe?
Tell us, Tom. Tell us.
Already forgot the name. I was going to say Cold Day in Hell, but that was the last one. Tremor 7, Shrieker Island, Joe. It's an island full of shriekers.
So it's a beach movie.
Kinda, I guess. Not really. More of a forest movie. I mean, what it's been for, I guess, since the fourth movie, it's like, hey, let's do the same exact shit, but in a different place. So, this is maybe some Asian island. Maybe it looks like a bunch of Vietnamese or Filipino. They never really say. You know, usually something will pop up to let you know where you are.
Yeah.
No. So, old Dick Brake, what would you remember this guy from? He was the dad from that fucking Woogie Boogie movie that everybody loved that came out a couple years ago. Don't Go in the Basement. What was that one? Oh, you know it.
Yeah, Understairs or something.
With they're in Detroit and they're just like, oh, I rented this house too. And then there's a Wooga Booga in the basement.
Yeah, bad B&B, I think
it was. Yeah, that was it. Well, he's like the evil dad in it. And he's been in other shit. Like, if you know the face, you're like, oh, yeah, Dick Break. Got it.
Yeah. So, you know who he is. And then you can never remember what he's in to, like, help me out. But that's fine.
I mean, a bunch of Rob Zombie movies. Have you seen any of that shit?
Nope.
See? I mean, you saw the fucking Evil Bed and Breakfast or whatever the fuck that shit was. Yeah. I wish I could remember what it was. I think it's something with a B.
Yeah, people loved that fucking movie, and I just thought, yeah.
Oh, it was so good, none of us could come up with the fucking name. Anyways, back to old Trey Moore's. So, Michael Gross, old Bert, he's living on a desert island now, secluded from everybody. He just wanted to get away, go off the grid. He looks like a hobo and shit. And Jamie Kennedy is out. The excuse for him not being in this movie is his character got arrested at the border trying to sneak in psychedelic mushrooms.
Oh, and out like he came out of the closet.
Maybe. I don't know. God bless him. Thoughts to his family.
Yeah.
Where the fuck was I at? So yeah, he's out of the movie. So that's why Jamie Kennedy's out of the movie. His character's in jail. So this island that old Dick Break, I guess he has an island, and then there's another close by island where like researchers are doing research shit. So on old DB's island, they like genetically modified Tremors to make them be super predators because they're fucking stupid. And then they take wealthy dickheads out there to go like on a hunt so they can feel like big men for hunting Tremors. You know, you've heard this fucking storyline a fucking bunch. It's nothing new, but this time it's with Tremors. So, it turns out that Jamie Kennedy's mom, the lady that Bert stuck it in, she's on the research island. And the other guy on the research island is Napoleon Dynamite. So he tracks down old Bert, gets him to come back to the island. And then they hunt Tremors on the island, these super predator Tremors, but they don't really have guns. The hunters and shit have guns, but they say, oh no, only people whose fingerprint matches it can shoot it. So Bert's fighting off Tremors with like sticks and shit. You know, just whatever they have around. I think old Napoleon Dynamite had a chainsaw and Bert had two machetes.
Barbarians.
A little cooler. Mm-hmm. A little cooler and a little more dressed than barbarians usually are.
Well, that's the name of the movie, I think, that we were trying to remember.
Oh, Barbarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Joe, did you look it up?
No, I'm on my phone right now talking to you, so I can't look up. Right. But when you talked about them using sticks and rocks and stuff, it's like, hey, like Barbarian. Hey. Bing.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, fighting the Tremors, and this guy, Napoleon Dynamite's got a chainsaw from somewhere.
He does, yes. So, I mean, it's just, you know, the researchers and the hunters getting eaten, and hey, spoiler alert. At the end, old Bert dies. He sacrifices himself and gets eaten by a Tremor. Which, I mean, yeah, that's probably what should have happened, but not in some average-ass movie where a genetically altered Tremor gets him. It should probably be like a El Blanco. It should have been the old great white graboid back in Perfection. That's a So, I mean, while it kind of gets you like, oh, god damn it, Bert. It's just like, oh, well, that was kind of lame. This genetically altered fucking bullshit, and he's somewhere off. And why did he even leave? Like, in the last movie, he got fucking, like, papers that said all his back tax shit's forgiven, and he'll never have to pay taxes again. Like, there's some line they do in this movie. It's like, oh, yeah, all this white tape bureaucrat bullshit, I guess, trying to get guns or something. I mean, that's even dumb as fuck, too. Like, all these movies happened in this universe. So everybody knows he's super badass graboid hunter. So why wouldn't they just be like, yeah, we'll get you what you need. You know, it'll be a little easier for you to. But no, I'm going to go live off on a fucking island somewhere in Papua New Guinea or some silly sounding bullshit. And just like, dude, you already got all your tax shit cleared and you didn't have to. I don't know. Like, it gets to you a little bit after watching all these movies when Bert dies. But I mean, the movie itself's kind of lame and you've seen this shit before. Again, it's average. All these Tremor movies are average to above average. Like, I'm not saying they're fucking bad. I'm just like, yeah, that was a movie. You know, it was all right. I didn't hate it. It had some good stuff. Like, this is a good, fun series that everybody can enjoy. But it's not like, oh, fucking Tremors. Hell yeah. Did you see that shit? Yeah, I did. It was all right. That one part was pretty cool. I like them. I mean, yeah, I like them. I consider them classics, and I can see why people fucking like them as much as they do, because, like, they're great movies to introduce to the younger people for fucking, like, you want to get into creature movies and monsters and shit. I guess it's a good one, and fucking I was thinking about it. Bert Gummer might be the best character in all the movie history. Because everything is like the whole story is consistent and you can see a growth in some things. And I mean, it's a pretty solid series. It's like, again, it stays consistent, pretty much gives you what you're there for. Besides that stupid fucking last one, that was A Cold Day in Hell. And it's like fucking one scene in the snow and the rest are romping around a fucking Canadian dirt land or some shit. That was fucked, but. Not the greatest, best movies out there, but it's a solid series, and Bert Gummer is the fucking man.
You pour so, one.
I'm not going to pour one out, but I am going to crack one open and take a swig for the gentle, and I'll also do this.
Mm. To you, Bert G.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, check them out, Joe.
Get right on that.
when the grandkid gets a that sucks to hear. I'm sucks to say. Sorry, dude. But when the mijo gets a little bit older, watch him with him. That'll be some good shit. And then you'll be like, oh yeah, those were all right. I wish Tom was around and didn't die from that massive heart attack, so I could say, oh yeah, they were all right.
yeah, because it is. It's a Hispanic tradition to watch a franchise of films with one's grandchildren. Speaking of Tom, I watched a 2024 film called Panic Hispanics. Have you heard of this one, Tom?
Yeah, I was going to go see it in the old theaters, but then I seen old Dances on Graves did one of them. So I said, nope, I'm good. I'll never watch this.
Yeah, I was going to go see it because, for some reason, this made it to the theaters. And I thought, hey, well, that looks different. Let's, it's Hispanic Heritage Month. Maybe I'll go watch it and talk about it on the show since we do mention that, you know, don't do anything for it, but mention it. And, then I thought better. I thought, why the fuck would I want to go see this? You know? So I didn't. But it appeared, I guess, on maybe Amazon's Prime. I'm not sure which one I watched it on. But this is an anthology film, Tom. And you know how we are. We love the anthology films. Well, this one, as most do, has a wraparound sequence, you know. So a SWAT team busts into a house. Maybe it's a trap house, but everybody there is dead. It just so happens that there is one guy that is trapped in there. He's chained up. And they arrest him. They take him in for questioning, you know, the old interrogation room, Tom. And who is it? None other than Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. So we have a Napoleon Dynamite tie-in between what you watched and what I watched. And he's saying, hey, you got to let me go, you know, or there's going to be big trouble around here. And he's like, well, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Explain to us. He's telling him he's immortal and there's an evil spirit that's chasing him. So he's got to stay one step ahead of this evil spirit. And the only way this evil spirit can be killed is by an ancient weapon that he had a long time ago, but now is lost to time. And anyway, to reinforce his point, he starts telling them stories, Tom. And the first story, let's see.
Why? Why does he just start telling him stories?
Just starts telling him a story.
Do these stories have to do with the weapon?
No, not at all. Okay, the first story is.
Great. Can I ask you this? Is he dead? Is it revealed at the end? Ha ha ha! You're dead.
No.
Oh.
So the first story, Tom. Okay. Is about like an autism guy, a grown adult autism guy, and he's real good at Rubik's Cubes. And he's going to go be in a Rubik's Cube championship in Japan, but he's apprehensive about it. Maybe he's not good enough. But anyway, he figured out how to summon spirits or something in his house by using his Rubik Cube skills. He takes his phone, turns on the flashlight, and does like a little code. And there's some guy that has a podcast, so you know he's a loser. And he's like there to see what's going on. And, you know, and the guy freaks out, leaves, come back. Hey, you got to do that thing again. That was my mom. I saw my mom and I got to tell her, you know, goodbye. You know, I wasn't there when she passed away. And so he does it and the mom comes back. But the spirits that come back to him, they're evil. They're evil. Yeah. And, I guess they get the Rubik's Cube guy at the end. I don't know. It's kind of confusing and stupid. But anyway, he tells them another story, Tom. And this one is about a vampire that forgot about daylight savings time. So he's in a rush to get back to his coffin so he can, not burn up in the sun. But one thing after another stops him, Tom, slows him down. And, this is not an original concept. I've seen this done many, many times, much better than this. This one's played for laughs. And as you can see, none of this has anything to do with the spirit chasing the guy. The third one is about a guy that's about to go into witness protection. But some witch cult comes and they take him to the forest and start torturing him. And I don't remember what happens here. Everybody blows up or something, you know. They all get possessed and blow up. Let's see. And then the last one is pretty much an Evil Dead ripoff. This guy's talking to a lady, and they want something from him. And he's like, he knows the lady's a demon. And finally, oh, you're gonna die. We're gonna get you. And, you know.
That was pretty fucking good, dog. I thought you were possessed.
She's floating in the air, and he has some kind of club, mystic club, to hit her with, and it's stupid as shit. And then, the guy gets the gun, shoots the evil spirit, but doesn't. He gets away, and he's running off.
Is it just a regular gun, or is it a Ghostbuster gun?
It's like the gun the Predator has at the end of Predator 2, you know, an old colonial gun. And some other cops pull him over, so it's like he just looks at the camera like, oh no, not again, you know. Stupid movie.
But you said he was Mexican, not black, so what the fuck does that matter?
Hmm? Oh.
The cops pulling him over?
Yeah, I got you. What should tell you how shitty this movie is, the guy, the Pedro guy, he's the best actor in it. He gives the best performance. So, yeah, this is garbage. You know, usually you have one good story in an anthology. This one has nothing going for it at all. So, yeah, I got two on my worst of list now, Tom. So, list is filling up pretty quick. Much quicker than last year.
You've ever seen Napoleon Dynamite?
I have.
Have you? Do you like it?
He dances. I think that's the how all his problems are solved, is he dances in front of the school. And I think
you like it?
Inspiring tale that if you know how to dance silly like, then everybody in the school is going to like you all of a sudden. Mm. I've never seen anybody put this to the test.
What you mean, like dance their problems away?
Right.
So did you like it?
It was all right. I mean, it had some stuff.
In college, we had to, like, each semester, we had to take, like, one just stupid fucking class, like a regular college class, just so it would count towards an actual diploma or whatever the fuck. And I think it was Psychology 101. One day they put on Napoleon Dynamite, and I just walked the fuck out. I was like, in my head, I'm just like, I didn't fucking pay to watch this fucking bullshit. I'm going back to my room and sculpting. And I just took the fuck off. I did a lot of shit in that class where I was like, this is fucking dumb. What am I doing here? I should be fucking sculpting or painting or something. This is fucking idiotic. So I just leave. Because this was it's in like a real busted down town. That's why these people were able to get these buildings so cheap, because it's just in a real shithole. So, like, on this fucking road, that's pretty much this town, they bought up all these fucking buildings and shit. So you'd have a class here, and then you'd have to walk down the street and go to another building for a class. So, I mean, I was just like, yeah, I'm just leaving. And I had to walk all the way the fuck back, but I didn't care. That shit sucked. What the fuck was I doing? Fucking dumb.
You were learning your trade.
Yeah, it was fucking Psychology 101 for, oh, I wonder what this monster is thinking. Fucking dumb. I don't know. Hey, Joe, you look like an old guy. You ever seen Dirty Harry?
I have.
It's pretty good.
It is.
I watched it for the first time this past week. Can you believe it?
Yeah, knowing you, yeah, I can believe it. So this is your first experience to Dirty Harry Callahan, huh?
Yes, sir. At least I know where the, hey, did I shoot 5 or 6? You fuck, you feel lucky? It's like, hey, well, that's where that came from.
Yeah, he's got big hair in this one.
He does. I never really gave a fuck about Clint Eastwood movies. Because, you know, you always hear about him growing up and being such a popular actor. I'm just like, oh, this shit probably sucks. It's probably just some fucking Hollywood dickhead guy. But every movie I've seen that he made was pretty fucking good, Joe.
Watch the Iger Sanction.
Yeah, this, like, Iger Sanction. And then you said, hey, watch Gran Torino. And I was like, hey, that was pretty fucking good. And now this is the third one. And I was like, hey, that was all right. It's like a tamer Death Wish, I guess. A blaxploitation movie that's reversed. So, hey, if you want to see a bunch of black people get shot, I guess.
This one, what's the main plot? on this one, because I get the first and second one confused all the time.
So this one, there's a goofy white guy running around, and he's just sniping people.
Okay. Because a killer, right? Or something like that?
It's something. I can't remember, but they were giving him some goofy fucking name.
Scorpio or some shit like
Scorpio. That was it. It was Scorpio. And he's fucking going around, you know, doing your average white high schooler thing, just bringing a gun around and shooting people. He's an American. That should also be said. So, yeah, he's just, hey, police, give me this not really that much money. Well, I mean, back then, maybe. It's a lot of money. That would fucking change my life. If I got $100,000, I'm not going to fucking lie. But so it is a good amount of money, but he probably should have asked for more. But old John Vernon was having a hard time fucking getting the money together as it is. And it's just, you know, watching old what's-his-nuts, Iger Sanction, going around and fucking trying to... He's just going and trying to track down this screwy tomato that's running around doing fucking no good things. Yeah. And the fucking the villain, he's really good. You really think he's a fucking piece of shit. Like, he was so good, and I guess he was getting death threats and shit. I mean, you really do hate this motherfucker. And while he gets his comeuppance and shit, of course, like, it should have been, like, more explicit, and he should have really got the shit instead of just like getting shot and then floating in a lake. But this is like what I would call a mainstream exploitation movie. Yeah. To where, you know, they can do some shit, but it's still for a mainstream audience. So
yeah, the second movie is really good too. After that, they're just gonna they're all right, but. I mean, the first two are really, really good.
Well, hey, tune in next week when we talk about the second one.
Yeah.
Because I'll watch it, you see.
Yeah, so I've got this whole box set of Clint Eastwood movies that my daughter had given me. And it's weird because, you know, you'd think it's like the complete Clint Eastwood, but it only has... I think three of the Dirty Harry movies, and it's like, where the fuck are the rest? You know, I know it was the same studio that made all these, and that's really okay. Well, it's the complete Clint Eastwood from, say, Universal or whatever, and they're gonna have all his movies from there. But I don't know. This box set's just kind of a mess, you know. Just then, I thought maybe it's
a way to get you to buy shit.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, you like those? Well, now you got to get this other set with the other two on them.
Yeah, featuring the missing ones, yeah.
Fuck you, Shaw Scope Volume 2. Same shit. Everybody does it, Joe. Let's take your goddamn money.
Don't forget to get that next Shaw Brothers set, Tom.
Mm-mm. I mean, they're not going to release, or they... They're not going to release any more movies, but I'm pretty goddamn sure that there's no greater Shaw Brothers movie than fucking Boxer's Omen. So I don't think Seventh Curse was Shaw Brothers. So Seeding the Ghost was, it was okay, but not going to get better than Boxer's Omen. God damn, dude. Everybody out there that's listening to this, all three of you, go out and get The Seventh Curse and The Boxer's Omen. I'm pretty sure they're both on YouTube. Grab some beers if you're of age, some legal marijuana. Have yourselves a fucking great night. That shit will be a fucking awesome double feature for people who've never seen that shit before, because it's just wild, wild shit all around. I gotta rewatch Seventh Curse again. I've only seen it that one time, and I gotta go. It's been a couple years, maybe a year and a half. I think it's time to go back and watch that shit.
Well, Tom, part of the reason that I watched so little is because one day I went to the theater, the movie theater and watched a movie called Sting. And for those of you that haven't noticed before, don't follow this page too often, we've got a Boy Got Bonus up on there where I review this movie that I went and saw. But another reason, Tom, is because I spent 2 days out of the week watching the same movie. You know, watched it one night, then watched it a second night, and just talked all over it with you, Tom. We did a commentary for a movie called Night of the Dribbler. Have you seen this, Tom?
Joe, I have. However, I've talked way more about that movie than I ever want to. So if you want to talk about it, you enjoy yourself, but it's not good.
No, it's not good, and Tom's right. We talked about it for an hour and a half, the length of its runtime. So yeah, I'm done speaking of this movie. If you want to see it, I think it's on YouTube. It's where we watch.
I don't know. Oh, the movie. I was going to say, if you want to listen to our commentary track, you should have went back in time, because this was a Team Boy Gob exclusive.
This was an exclusive. But, yeah, that's all I watched, aside from a movie we'll talk about a little later.
And also, the audio listeners, keep being an audio listener, because if I listen to this shit, that's how I would listen to it. But as Joe said, if you go to the YouTube page, there is a bonus Boy Gob section where, you know, shit like the Sting review go up there and just extra shit that you don't get on the audio feed. However, YouTube viewers who don't subscribe to the audio feed, just know that we also put exclusive bonus content over there. So if you like whatever the fuck this is, doesn't hurt to follow both of them, because every so often you might get a little bonus shit in a different place. So hopefully it's not your ass.
As Tom says all the time.
Does I say what?
Gotta catch them all.
Oh, Pokemans. Remember that time when fucking Norm MacDonald had the show and then they had that fucking Pokemon episode? Terrific. It was all the rage. I thought you were a fan. You really did say fuck him after you found out he was a Canadian. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Trying to slowly forget about his Canadian ass.
Americans just don't talk like that, Joe. You ever see the hit motion picture Stacy?
Stacy, is this the one about the clown?
This is not the one about the clown.
Okay, because I remember seeing like one that's got a cover with a clown on it, and it says Stacy or something like that.
No, no, that's Gacy.
Yeah, that's it.
But no, this is a Japanese movie from the early 2000s.
Nope.
This was one that I just, you know, one of those the people, learn to speak, Thomas. Slow your fucking roll and learn to speak.
Think it out first, Ed, then let it flow.
All right. So, Stacy, Joe. You know, people have those VHS or DVD or to a later extent, I guess, Blu-ray covers that they would see in the old video store. And that would stick out to them as, oh, yeah, that's one of my memories of the video stores. This cover. So one of mine was Stacy, even though I rented it the first week it came out, because as we talked about before, every Tuesday I would head to the old Hollywood video and rent a few movies that just came out that fucking week. And this was one of them. And how old was I? 2001, 2000, no, did it come out in 2000? I think it came out around 2001, so still in high school. And I said, oh, this is a fucking piece of shit I'll never watch this again. Cut to 20 some years later, and man, I'm thinking about this cover. I think I'm going to give that one old rewatch for the old nostalgia. Hey, we're still on this. That's knowing that Dirty Harry review. They're going to be like, what the fuck is this? So, yeah, I'll give it the old nostalgia rewatch and see if anything changes. Yeah, I thought this movie was pretty fucking good this go around, Joe. I would say before I came back from college, I was of the, probably a little bit after college too, I was of the mindset of fuck comedy horror. That shit sucks. Horror has to be horror. And I mean, that all changed maybe when I saw Brain Damage, because I can specifically remember seeing Brain Damage for the first time and being like, holy shit. I don't want to say it was life changing because that sounds effeminate. Mm-hmm. But
but it changed your life.
Yeah. And I haven't even seen Bad Taste at that point because of that stupid goofy head with the finger. I was just like, what is this? It's not horror. Then I saw that. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ. I've been so ignorant.
Yeah, that stupid head's pretty cool. With the finger? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Fine, yeah, once you watch the movie.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, now that both of those are like in my top 10 movies of like all movies. So crazy how you grow, learn, and, you know, be a better person, Joe. So, yeah, Stacy, it's a goofy Japanese gore movie. Reminded me of something like The Dead Next Door, maybe Redneck Zombies, just in the feel. And I think this one was shot on video, too. But this is like a global pandemic in this movie, or a global happening, but that we just focus on Japan. Girls between 15 and 17, just at random points, they turn into zombies, and then they have these kill units, the Romero zombie units or some shit like that. Pardon me. And they go out and re-kill these people. And I guess the best way to do it is to chop them up in 165 pieces specifically. It's about a week before they change. The Stacys, as they call them, they just get super fucking happy about everything. I think it's called like pre-death happiness or some shit. So we just like follow all this shit happening. There's a scientist trying to figure out what's going on. All that scientist shit, like it's very Day of the Dead. They have zombies, your Stacy's chained up to walls and shit. And then there's this whole thing with this school for young girls to go learn art or something, and it's just like a breeding ground for these Stacys, so the fucking scientist can do his experiments to figure out what the fuck's going on. And one of these Stacys, she's in like pre-death happiness or whatever, and she finds this puppeteer. It's like, oh, I want you to kill me when the time comes. I'll make you happy and comfortable until you have to kill me. And it's kind of weird. I think something's lost in translation, like the cultural translation of shit. Maybe they're just fucked. I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt, because otherwise this movie comes off really fucking like eyebrow raising. And it's not a sexual relationship, though. It's the girl's just a goofball, and the guy, I don't want to say the guy's lonely because there's other people they show in his studio there, so something has to be missing. Like the cultural translation or some shit. I don't know, maybe 8-year-olds are legal in Japan. I don't fucking know. Maybe that's why the bonds were dropped and they're just not telling us. I don't fucking know. But weird. Like, that part's just weird. I don't get it.
I'm just glad you're not making excuses for
it. No, you can't. So there's like, you find out that like the Stacys, they just want to be loved. And you know, they want people who love them to re-kill them. And like, all this is happening because of a lack of love. And then they say people start fucking these Stacys and having children. And that's the next step in evolution. And I just kept thinking, something has to be lost in translation, because it's all fucking Japanese with subtitles. And I know those people, the Asians, do some pretty wacky ass shit. Like, we just talked about Boxer's Omen and the Seventh Curse. But shit's kind of fucking weird. And I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but the movie has like a lot of fucking wild gore in it. Like, a lot of fucking wild gore shit. Like, these people saw Tom Savini and they were just like, oh, we're going to do this Japanese style. And it's fucking crazy. And there's some lulls in it for sure. But in the whole fucking cultural misinterpretation shit, I don't know about that, but if you like wild and crazy gore shit, it's pretty fucking good. I like it for sure. It's those people, dude. I don't know.
It's a different culture, Tom.
Oh shit. And they have like this thing that they advertise on TV, a commercial or an infomercial for this thing, that the subtitle, they call the product Bruce Campbell's Hand Number 2, and it's like a little chainsaw gimmick that slips over your hand. However, it does not say Bruce Campbell's Hand Number 2 on the chainsaw blade where their logo is, Joe. It says something else. So, Joe, just pretend you're a Japanese fellow or lady, whichever one you'd like. Now say the word Bruce as you would as a Japanese fellow or lady.
Bruce.
Close. It said Blues Campbell's. Can't make this shit up. So that gave me a good laugh. But yeah, it's good. It's good shit. It's on YouTube if you'd like to watch it, but you'll have to read subtitles and you might say, wait a second, what the fuck's going on here? That something has to be lost in translation, like that one hit motion picture, Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
Or they're not and they're fucked.
I'm going to go with that.
You got anything else there, Joe?
Not.
Did you talk about two movies?
Kind of. No, just really satanic Hispanics.
Okay. Just making sure I wrote it down. Well, let me ask you this there, Joe. How was your week?
It was all right. Like I said, I'm busy at work. I went to movies. I over the weekend, we went and helped Lisa's dad do some stuff around his lake house. And yeah, that was it.
How was that? Did you have fun? Everything's better at the lake.
You know, it's that lake life, you know.
I think we talked about that last week, yeah?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Oh, fuck.
Great time.
What?
I think Corey would have had a great time.
Probably. All right, man. So, this Bill Millings, dude.
Bill Millings.
You look up anything more about the guy? Because I didn't. I stopped giving a fuck after last week's episode.
Oh, so we're rolling into his second non-adult film production. And this is Lauderdale. So this seems like it would be more up his alley, right? Because, you know.
So this dude made porno too?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know we talked about that dude from Night of the Dribbler, and I was starting to get those guys confused.
Yeah, it's odd watching both of them. I mean, this guy made more movies, I guess. No, he didn't. They're about the same. They've got, like, parallel lives, these two dudes, you know? Did porn, did some mainstream stuff, and then I guess, did they go back to porn? I don't know. Who cares?
Seems like... They're just dudes who are doing it for the business side and don't give a fuck about the art side.
Yeah, it's work for them. You know, it's a job. And Lauderdale, Tom, this, what year was this shit? It doesn't matter. Not
89.
Nine. Okay, so this, when this came out, there were a bunch of movies like this. Movies on the beach. It's, you know, it was to showcase chicks in bikinis. Have a bunch of tit shots, you know, and it's always the same story about some guy trying to get a girl or trying, in this case, he's trying to find the perfect girl, this college student. And he's got a fat buddy. And then, look, remember I said in these movies, the formula for success is you have to have the fat, obnoxious buddy. So they got that checked off, right?
The big kahuna.
The big kahuna. That's revealed later. See, the thing is,
shit.
They use this guy at the beginning of the movie, and then he disappears. You know?
No, he pops up here and there.
Should have had him throughout the whole movie.
I mean, they kind of did. He showed up on the boat, and he was at Daytona Beach for a second. Like, he pops up here and there.
Not enough, Tom. Not enough.
Well, I mean, the movie sucks. Spoiler alert, but...
Anyway, while he's there talking about the perfect girl that he wants, she just happens to walk by, Tom. This guy's very attractive. And what was attractive in 89 is different than what people consider attractive now, because now you got body positivity. You know, back there, attractive was, like, considered slim, you know? I mean, your tits didn't need to be huge, but, you know, you had to have some. But, yeah. Slim girls with big hair. That was the thing back then. And he sees her. He wants her. He's going after her. He wants to marry her, Tom. But, you know, after he spends 30 minutes trying to get her a bottle of Dom Perignon, which you also enjoy, Tom. You enjoy a bottle of the Dom every once in a while.
And oh boy, does he have to go through a lot to secure this bottle of booze. So this whore he's trying to nail, she takes him up to his hotel, or he goes up to her hotel room. And this bitch couldn't have more liquor in that fucking room. Like, that was like, hey, we got to make sure we bring liquor bottles to this room to make it seem like this is a nice hotel. But I guess she really just wanted this fucking bullshit. So this guy goes to a fucking liquor store. The fucking guy who runs it, not being any fucking store owner I've ever known. Like, the guy's like, I have money, and he's pushing him out the door saying they're closed. Any normal person would be like, oh yeah, your last guy, come in, and I'll fucking lock this shit. But for comedic effect, No, get the fuck out of here. Hey, oh, never mind. Fuck you. Come on in. Hey. So after overpaying for this fucking bottle of booze, Ron Jeremy comes in and dry fucks him from the back. loses his bottle of booze. A hobo has a bottle and loses that bottle. I think he gets another one, or he doesn't. He goes back to the room and, oh, she had one, or the fucking room service said they were out, but maybe they burn. And there's a whole thing where he's going up to the elevator with the room service guy delivering the bottle of booze. And he, oh, I don't know what room I'm, whoa, whoa, whoa. Comedy ensues. Bill Millen's fucking sucks.
So earlier when Tom referred to this woman as a whore, I mean, that is the way he talks about women, but she's a party girl, you know.
But she came off like a prostitute, like she was bringing him up to the room so they were going to pay for sex.
Right. So it turns out she's rich, you know, so she's used to getting what she wanted. She's real rich. And there's another rich guy that wants to stop her from going to a shareholders meeting. So he's got two goons, two dorks.
Because her father just gifted her like a million stocks in the company. So now she's the majority shareholder or something fucking dumb.
Yeah. So, yeah, these two goons and their boss, who is another, like, woman, a hot-looking woman of the time, are trying to stop her from going to the shareholders meeting because she'll default on it or something. So,
and you're saying this hot-looking woman, it's just another young broad?
But, like I said, that was the style of woman at the time.
But I just don't want anybody to think like, oh, this is executive business lady going out with like a red pantsuit and a pearl necklace or something. No, this is just some other floozy romping around in bikinis and shit, yeah, too.
All the time. So that's the plot of the movie. She takes off to go party. This guy is trying to find her because he really wants to fuck her and maybe marry her. The other people are trying to find her to stop her and kidnap her from going to that meeting. And so they just go from beach to beach to beach to find her, you know. And in the course of that, we see like stock footage from clubs, you know, having like, I don't know, what, hot oil wrestling or, you know.
Joe, that is not stock footage. I looked up a little bit on this movie. That is actual real footage they shot there and an actual bar where that shit would actually happen.
Well, I saw them give thanks to several bars in the credits, so yeah.
And it is still around, but from what I read on the internet from a stranger.
And from the way it looks, you could consider it stock footage, because that's what I consider it. So I'm going to call it that, Tom.
The whole movie's stock footage then.
And eventually, blah, 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 he gets the girl. But there's been this other girl helping him out the whole time. And she's just like another, you know, girl of the time. And, man, they fall in love, Tom. And he turns out he doesn't want that other girl anymore by the end of the movie.
This girl, she's fucking, she works for the dad's company.
Right.
And she's fucking teams up with fucking Average Joe or whatever the fuck his name was to go find fucking Shoshan or whatever the fuck. Old fucking, adult film lady's name it was.
Janine Lindemolder. So that's who plays the main character or the main girl, the one that everybody's after. And it turned out, hey, this is her first movie. She did another one, which will be the next movie that we watch. And then somebody told her, hey, you suck. Why don't you go into porn? So she did. And she became pretty popular in porn. But turns out she didn't know, oh, wait a minute, after fucking all these guys, I can get pregnant? So she got pregnant, didn't know which one of the hundreds of guys that were fucking her on a weekly basis did it. She has the kids, but decides from that point forward, I'm only doing girl-girl porn. So she does. She starts to get more and more tattoos. She has like a whole sleeve or whatever. Eventually retires, and she's like one of the biggest... what's the company? Vivid? Was that? Yeah, I think it's Vivid Entertainment. She was a Vivid girl, so she was like one of the top three porn girls at the time. And it's April, right? What do we do in April? We pay our taxes. Not her. She said, fuck it, you know?
She got Burt Gummered.
She owed the IRS like $300,000. And instead of paying them, she went and bought herself a $600,000 house and a new Corvette or whatever the fuck. They said, hey, we're not fucking you. You're just a porn star. She did time. You know, they threw her in jail. She did like a year and a half. During that time, she lost her, custody to her kid. You know, she's a jailbird, Tom. She's a jailbird.
She's the bird, all right.
And then she came out of it and got hooked up with some reality star named Jesse James or James Jesse or some stupid shit like that. And I don't know. And she looks fucking horrible. She's got tattoos all over her neck. And yeah, she just, yeah. But her story is more interesting than this movie.
Did they ever find out who the father was?
I don't know. I don't think it mattered.
It kind of matters to the fucking kid, I guess.
But he get, yeah, my mom's a porn star. Like,
Oh, you know, it's just the follies of working in this industry.
Yeah.
What the fuck? You might spill a little ink on your shirt. Oh, you might get pregnant from a fucking cocktail of sperm. It might be some weird shit where three guys sperm fucking fused while they were fucking traveling into the old uteri. And that's fucking... life's weird, Joe. Life, and everyone's different.
I guess so. But yeah, Lauderdale, much, much better than Wolfpack. You know? But it's not good. It's not a good movie. I do not recommend it. If you want to watch it, it's on YouTube, but...
Yeah, it's a typical boner comedy of the time, just made because boner comedies were popular.
Yeah.
Seems like something that was shown on Up All Night, severely edited.
It's got some oddly catchy music, I'll give it that, you know? Starts out with a girl beach band playing, and they're playing this stupid song, but it just stayed in my
head. Well, what's her nut singing?
Who?
Your boy with the tattoos?
Janine London Reminder?
Yeah, there you go.
Not her.
That's singing. Her singing.
But not in real life, right? She just
looks. Yeah, that was her.
We go to the beach. We go to the beach. Because it's fun. Yeah.
They were doing the fucking white guys started rapping. And then they dropped a My Sharona. And that made me giggle, but that was it.
That song actually got airplay on the radio.
I could see people of a certain time and of a certain age like this kind of thing being their thing, because what else are you going to whack off to? It's not like it's Texas in 2024 or anything. But, I don't know. I'm sure there were a lot of worn out copies of the VHS tape sitting on fucking video store shelves. I mean, I'll fucking never watch this shit again. I can't say I enjoyed watching it, but I'd be like, oh, yeah, I mean, you're kind of hitting all the beats, I guess, but it's just, you know, paint by numbers. Ron Jeremy shows up, so I'm just like, oh. What can you say? Like, I wasn't even, like, I was never a fan of the fucking guy. But he's in my favorite movie, Orgasmo. And I'm just not like, hell yeah, Ron Jeremy's in it. Like, I was never like, oh, sweet, you got Ron Jeremy in your movie? That's so cool. It's just like, fucking guess. But it works in Orgasmo, being a movie about porn and shit. So it's just like, okay, fine. But I never got the, hey, it's Ron Jeremy. Okay, he was in a bunch of Trauma shit too.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's weird how that guy became like a pop cultural sensation. Is that the right fucking terminology?
Yes, I don't know. I don't know what you would call him. You call him locked up now. Yeah.
You ever try and suck your own dick, Joe?
No.
Yeah, right. You're a fucking liar.
I'm a lion.
No, I said you have the heart of a lion.
Thanks, Tom. Old Mud Man, they call me. So next week, we'll be delving into another Bill Milling classic, and this is Caged Fury. And this one you can actually watch on Tubi, so you can have a lot of commercial interruptions.
Yeah, I thought this was a different movie, so I don't think I've seen this one, because this doesn't have Linda Blair in it, right?
Oh, that is...
Can't wait. At least you only picked four of these to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen any of these fuckers before?
That's what I was saying. I want to go into something I hadn't seen. Not like you, like, hey, here's some shit I've already seen and already have an opinion on. You know? I'm sure we'll get to that again in 2 weeks. But anyway, Tom, on with the show. On with the goddamn show.
What? This is your shit. Talk about Spider-Man. Oh.
Yeah, another month, another week of Spider-Man's in Marvel team-up. He teamed up with the Beast, and they fought Deathstrike and the Modular Man. I don't know, but it sucked. What was notable about it... No, that wasn't this issue. No, it wasn't. Wasn't at all. Anyway, we go on to Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man's, and... Kurt Connors is like trying to get in contact with Spider-Man. Because remember when he was fighting the iguana guy, Peter Parker used this radiation thing to suck out the iguana and lizard
juice
from their bodies. But now, like, remember last week I was saying, hey, Peter Parker's having fits of anger. It's because he got that radiation, Tom. He got that radiation, and after he fights whatever fucking villain he fought in this one, I don't even remember. It was the Schizoid Man. You know, a guy with split personalities that can make his thoughts come to life. Whatever, he beat
Spider-Man beat up an unfortunate soul with a mental health condition.
He beat the shit out of him. And and then at the end of it, he's like, oh, this radiation is too much for Spider-Man. So he turns into the spider lizard, Tom. Yeah, he's fucking got his Spider-Man's costume all torn up and he's got the lizard head. And so this issue is being notable for, I think it's the first time that John Romita Jr. Did art for Spider-Man's. And the art's not bad. It's not his style that he would eventually turn into, but he does a pretty good job, you know.
That was going to be my question. Is it still drawn the house style?
Yeah, it's more like he's drawing like his dad, but better than his dad, you know?
He's drawn like his dad, but better. And his dad's drawn like Steve Ditko, but better. Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, okay. So then finally, it's Amazing Spider-Man's number 202.
Before we go into this one, let me ask you something. Since you're reading three Spider-Man comics a week, They would say, like, all right, in this comic, you got to give these kids 30 minutes of reading. Joe, how long it take you to read these comics?
I don't know, maybe 12 minutes. You know? They move along pretty big. And that one that Romita did, the panels are pretty big, so they move along even faster. And that's something that, as we go along, as time goes by, panels are going to get bigger and bigger, and we're going to see more and more splash pages and shit. So, you know, do the stories
get soon, 90s?
Yeah, they do. The stories do get better, and then they get lousy, and then they get, I guess, okay again. I don't know.
Which, to be fair, growing up in the period where they were lousy, most of the art was fucking great. And it was good shit to fucking look at.
Some of it. You know, I don't like a whole lot of it that came out at the time. You know, I thought, like, Jim Lee was really good. And he's a guy that got better and better as he went on. I didn't like Mark Silvestri a whole lot. You know, he'd have a panel here and there that was, man, that looks real fucking cool. And then the rest of it didn't, you know.
His shit kind of reminded me of the Marvel House style, but just doing it a little edgier.
Yeah, like that witless Protasio or whatever the fuck, you know.
Witless Protasius.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this guy's trying to be Jim Lee, but he doesn't have the chops. You know, he doesn't quite have the chops there. And
well, I mean, wasn't he inking all the Jim Lee shit?
Was, and I guess that's where he would get that style, you know, from.
Yeah. I mean, if you're just fucking going over fucking
yeah,
this guy's shit, that's going to sink in.
Yeah.
I mean, who better to rip off than fucking Jim? Not rip off, but, you know, get inspiration from than Jim Lee.
Liefeld, always looked like shit. Jim Valentino, his art looked like shit. What's his name? The Savage Dragon guy. I thought his run on Spider-Man was really good. I thought his art, like, it was cool shit. You know, it was cartoony and it worked. Yeah.
Hey, with that sweet-ass cyborg Spider-Man that everybody loves for one issue.
Yeah, all that shit. Yeah, and then the guys they replaced them with after they left, that was not good.
They make it look like this. They went back to, oh, this is the new house style. Make it look like this.
Make it look like Kirby.
No, like fucking McFarlane and Larson and shit and Jim Lee after.
Yeah, but it was the same thing, like you said. They were, you know.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Beginning, like they were doing that again with these guys. Yeah. Yeah, but I like Jim Lee shit. He did like some Punisher stuff that looked really good too. Which leads us back to Amazing Spider-Man's 202. Apparently, Frank Castle has a fleet of vans, of war wagon. Because I remember the one going off of the bridge in the last issue. Maybe I was wrong about that. But pretty sure it was.
Microchip swam down with some scuba gear and hooked it up to a chain and pulley.
Winch, they call it.
There you go.
Oh, shit. What happened? I just read this thing. Obviously.
So they're going after Jacoby. Last we left off, old Punisher was in Peter Parker's apartment, ready to do some fucking and or sucking. And he said, wait. I'm not mobbed up. I just have a deal with Spider-Man's. You want to deal with me too? Punisher says, no, I had a deal like that once with a young Indian boy, but that ended terribly. And he sulks away. And then we find out what happened with that weird shit later on.
So, yeah, they shot.
Don't laugh at that. That's their lifestyle, you piece of shit.
They shot him dope and he was hooked. Right off the bat, and it only takes one time. Stay away from fentanyl, kids, because it'll kill you. This is no joking matter. And if it doesn't kill you, the Punisher will show up and kill you.
With mercy bullets up the penis hole.
He uses mercy bullets throughout the issue. It's fucking stupid.
Even though I think like two people die in this fucking issue.
Yeah, one gets
mercy bullets. And one gets hit by a Christine, but we'll get to that.
Meanwhile, the reporter that doesn't like Peter Parker, because she he walked by, she said hi to him, he didn't respond.
April May.
Yeah,
April. Sweet name.
She goes undercover to find out what's going on. And
smuggling heroin to 10-year-olds and shit. This fucking bitch.
Yep.
What the fuck kind of shit are they writing over there at the House of Ideas? House of bad ideas.
He's a little suck off her, the mob boss to get the story and everything. It's strange. It's strange stuff, man. You know, but
just want your cocaine infused cum, daddy.
It was the '70s, you know.
I think we're in the '80s now.
Are we? Fuck.
I think so. I could be wrong though, and I don't give a fuck.
No, I'm not gonna check. But yeah, they go after Jacoby, you know, and I don't know, Spider-Man's hit some people, and then Jacoby gets hit by a fucking car, slammed into a light pole. Gruesome end for a man who led a gruesome life.
Fuck. You talk about the cover, how it's fucking Punisher and Spider-Man fighting a bunch of black people and one white guy kind of pushed off in the corner.
Surrounded and about to, you know, yeah.
Stan Lee was here, they would have all been black people, just so he could have showed them how culturally diverse he was. They would all been in college, too. God damn, Stan Lee sucked. His little fucking protest fucking storyline that didn't go goddamn anywhere.
I would say rest in peace, Stan Lee, but I really don't care if you do or not.
Rest in peace, Stan Lee.
Tom said it, not me.
Tough on dirt, gentle on carpet.
It was another issue.
It was. Can't wait for next week.
Tales from the Crypt.
I was trying to bang one of those out, but I didn't have enough time to watch one. So you got lucky.
The time crunch, you know.
Yeah. See you tomorrow.
I'll see you Wednesday after the movie.
I'll have one ready then.
Right.
Just Mondays and Wednesdays. If I don't record them both Monday, then I'm like, oh, I got to get one out tomorrow because three people care. So yeah, well, I panic record it Wednesday.
Got a Boy Got Bonus coming for you on Wednesday.
What that movie is.
Abigail.
Hey, Joe, you like lists?
No, I don't like them at all. Tom wanted us to go to our favorite fandoms or fandoms we think are okay, pretty good fandoms, not evil fandoms like we talked about last time.
Fandoms that won't make you want to off yourself.
Yeah. So these are, I guess, smaller fandoms, you know, more very specific fandoms, because otherwise when the things get big and bloated, that's when everybody starts to hate each other and just starts talking shit. Like it's what's that site you get on all the time, Tom? Reddit. Yeah, like Reddit, you know, where everybody just starts calling each other racial slurs and everything.
I definitely don't see that shit, but I'm only subscribed to like a few, like the movies, the comic books, like or in the bad movies. That's one of them that I always check out. It's how I found classic shit like The Minis and Down's Revenge. So shout out to the bad movies, Reddit.
So at number five, I have a game. They called this a role-playing game, but there was really no role-playing game, role-playing involved. And this game is called Car Wars. And for the longest time, there was no Car Wars. And they just started bringing it back again like the past 2 years. But there's always been a page dedicated to Car Wars for people that played back in the day. And they're a good old bunch, Tom. Very, you know, uplifting and supportive. You know, just fans of this thing that everybody forgot about or never knew about, I should say, in the first place.
They too good for Twisted Metal or what?
Well, there would be no Twisted Metal if it was, because that was highly influenced by Car Wars. Highly.
Thought it was highly influenced by a helicopter game, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, there was a module in Car Wars that was helicopters.
You like helicopters?
Yeah.
You like modules?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. See, you could be part of this Car Wars group, Tom. That's the attitude we're looking for there. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. Joe, for my money, there's no other better fans of music. That sound right?
Sure.
There's no better fans of music than the old Zooligans, Joe. You know them?
I've heard of them, yeah.
You ever hear of pandering?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
I thought it would just leave it there and be a little funnier, but I guess not. You never sell shit. You can go fuck yourself, Joe, and then go back to that lake and jump in it, you motherfucker.
At number four, Tom, I have Joe Lansdale fans. Yeah, us fans of Joe Lansdale. We're always, you know, hey, have you read this? Give this one a shot. Hey, you can find that story here. Hey, this novel relates to this story or this novella here. So it's a lot of discourse, you know, and nobody's just bitching each other out or saying, oh, I read that fucking thing a long time ago, you know.
Fucking dork, dude.
I'm okay with that.
I bet they still have message boards and AOL screen names.
That would be cool.
Go back in time. And T-shirt man 69 says, did you just hear old Jenny Lindemulder got arrested? Oh, shit. Speaking of which, we talked about last week, the old ladies who are fans of getting filmed doing a little fucking and sucking. Thank you for your service. Fortunately, I live in Texas now, so I'm whacking off to National Geographic again these days. How about you, Joe?
I haven't had a whole lot of time, Tom, so I'll find something. There's always something to find, but been a little busy.
You always got to make time for yourself.
True. That's true.
Oh, at least you got a slight chuckle out of whacking off. That's also good.
Websites haven't been banned, you know.
Joe's doing the research. Terrific. He'll fucking post a link next week.
And number three, Tom, and I'm sure this is going to change probably pretty rapidly, is fans of the game Fallout. You know, I've been playing this game since the first one. Fucking love it. Loved all the sequel games, except for Tactics. I've never played it. And it was all, that game was all Brotherhood of Steel, and I could give a fuck about the Brotherhood of Steel. Fuck them. But now it's got a TV show, Tom. So I'm sure it's going to get a new fandom that comes in and a new fucking attitude, and everybody's just going to bitch at each other about this or that. And, oh, well, it was good while it lasted. Also, I've seen the first two episodes, and this shit's fucking badass. But I say that as a big fan of the games, so I would like somebody else's perspective that doesn't play the games, does no knowledge, and tell me, hey, is this good, or am I just full of shit?
What's it on?
Amazon's Prime.
We'll see.
Well, we'll Walter see. Huggins is in it.
Oh, shit. Is that the guy with the no nose?
Yeah.
It didn't look too good. My number three is fans of people who actually like shit. Like, if you like shit and you have a passion for it and it makes you happy, more power to you. You don't care who else likes it or what you think. So if you actually dig something out there, then good. Good for you. Give it a couple years and you'll fucking hate everything.
And number two, Tom, I have music better fans. But how do you say that? Am I saying this right? What would be a way to say this? Anyway, Tom, fans of Dio. You know, you see somebody with a Dio patch or something, you go, Dio, and they go, fuck yeah, and you just walk on by. You know, and that's it. You know, that's all the acknowledgement you need. You don't need to fucking, you know, stop and start making out with each other and everything. You just kind of acknowledge, yeah, fucking I dig that shit too. Best music fans in the world.
Yep. Joe's a juggalo. You heard it here first.
Nah, this
my number two
fans. That whole spin, Tom, is just constant, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, no, I know. Dio fans have been juggalos since juggalos were around. I understand it. I dig it, man. I'm a fan of both.
Yeah, they just copied Dio's whole shtick. Yeah.
I know. I understand. They did.
Bunch of clowns, all of them.
Yeah, wicked clowns, as they say. Joe, my number two are fans of DWN Productions. Believe me, I'm more fans of you than you are of whatever the fuck this is. So thank you. I appreciate everything. Because without you, I mean, I'm nothing. I was going to say I'd be nothing, but I mean, I am nothing. But hey, thanks for the support. I appreciate that shit. And I hope you appreciate the shit that I make, that you spent your hard-earned money at.
At number one, Tom, I have fans of BoyGob.com or The Boy Gob Show or DWN Productions' terrible horror crap podcast, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Thank you for giving us some of your attention. I don't expect you to listen to the whole damn thing with with your full focus, but thanks for just giving us a listen here and there. You are much appreciated. And our number one fandom, because y'all don't argue, not with us. Go argue with somebody else. That's what you do. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Joe, at number one, I have Team Boy Gob. It's something if you fuck with DWN Productions. But if you get a little deeper, get into that Boy Gob, shows me you really give a fuck. Not that just you give a fuck what my fat ass has to say, but you give a fuck what that guy has to say too. So that means a lot because you care about friendship and free speech and fucking and sucking. So good for you. And you are appreciated. And as I found out, that, you know, sometimes over drive-through windows, the connection isn't the best. Someone thought I called him a piece of shit. Because they'd say the total. I'd be like, all right, thanks, appreciate it. Then pull up to the windows. Hey, did you call me a piece of shit? No, I said appreciate it. Oh, okay. So hopefully I didn't get spit in my food. But
you probably did.
Yeah, it wasn't the first time, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So don't show gratitude.
Try not to use words.
Or, you know, space them out. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Not just like one, appreciate it, like hillbilly shit, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm. Hey, everybody. Head on over. Oh, fuck. Joe, what's our list for next week?
Next week we'll do videos, VHSs we rented the most. Most times, you know. Repeatedly, I should say.
Eh? Fuck. Hey, head on over to DWNProductions.net. Mask bus props. Fast custom shirts. Head on over. Masked bus props. Hey, Joe, you got anything else?
Hey, thanks for listening, y'all.
Boy God.